Belfast Girls by Jerry McCulloch. Chapter 2, 1993. There were so many things about her life that Sheila Doherty hated, especially her appearance, her skinniness, and her hair, which was a very bright red. She was 8 and just beginning to notice boys. She knew how important it was that other people should think she looked good, and how impossible. How awful it was to be called Ginger, to be considered too tall, too thin, too ugly. She hated being called after in the streets and in a school playground. When church, Sunday dinner and Sunday school were over, Sheila wandered out into the back garden. Boredom attacked her. The back garden was not very large and there was nothing much to do there. There was a square of grass, a border, bright with flowers in spring and summer, but mostly brown or green on this dull October afternoon, and an empty rabbit hutch against a far wall. Sheila could vaguely remember the rabbit, a furry, cuddly focus of love a few years ago, when she was 5 or 6, and her short but violent grief at his unexplained death from some unidentified rabbit disease. She mooched over the grass, kicking aimlessly at the few still remaining fallen leaves, and leaned against a wizened old apple tree in the corner near the hutch. Although she was not to leave the garden or go out into the street by herself, it was good for her to be out in the fresh air, her mother said. It might give her a bit more colour. Sheila's pale skin and red hair, from her father Frank's side of the family, were a source of constant irritation to both Sheila and her mother Cathy. Both would have preferred almost any other combination, but particularly the dark hair and blue eyes for which Cathy had been so widely admired in her youth, as she often told Sheila with some complacency. Sheila kicked a few more leaves and wished something would happen. If only she had a sister or even a brother, it would be fun to have someone to play with. Suddenly, a large ball thudded at her feet. Sheila jumped and said, "Sugar!" Then she blushed, for she didn't often use what Cathy would call bad language. She picked up the ball and stood with it in her hands, looking cautiously around. It seemed to have come over the wall, which ran between her family's garden and the house next door. She watched. Two hands were gripping hard on the top of the wall. Then a head rose slowly above the edge. Black curly hair, blue eyes wide open in inquiry, a mouth which broke into a friendly grin as its owner saw Sheila. "Hi, can I come and get my ball?" Sheila nodded silently. The girl scrambled over the wall, leaving muddy smears on her light blue jeans as she did so. She advanced on Sheila and took the ball which Sheila held out to her. "What's your name?" "Sheila, what's yours?" "Philomena Mary Maguire, but I get called Phil." They looked at each other steadily for a moment. Then Phil again took the initiative. "We've come to live next door here. We moved in yesterday. Is this your house?"
"Yes."
"What's it like here? Mummy said it would be fun to have a garden, is it? Do you like it?" Sheila had never thought about it. She had always had a garden, didn't everybody? "Let's play with your football," she said.
"Okay."
Phil looked back. Another head had risen above the wall. Brown hair, not as dark as Phil's, grey eyes, a round freckled face with a friendly grin. "This is my brother Jerry," said Phil. "Can he come over too?"
"Yes, great," stammered Sheila.
A moment later, Jerry, who was obviously a year or so older than Phil but still small for his age, had scrambled over the wall and given the football a vigorous kick, only just missing Cathy's favourite rosebush. Sheila giggled. This was going to be fun. They played happily together for the rest of the afternoon. Phil and Jerry were inclined to take the lead and to suggest new games. Sheila didn't mind. It was interesting. Phil was fascinated by the rabbit hutch and the apple tree. She made Sheila see the back garden with new eyes, as an exciting place of endless possibilities. "We could make a swing from the tree if we had some rope," Jerry suggested enthusiastically. "We could use the clothesline."
"I don't think my mummy would let me," Sheila began.
But he had already pulled down the line and was starting to tie it to the tree. So Sheila and Phil joined in and helped him. It was great.
The afternoon whizzed by, and there was Sheila's mother, woken up from her Sunday afternoon nap, calling Sheila all ready for her tea. "I won't be allowed out after tea," Sheila said. "It'll be too dark. Maybe I'll see you at school tomorrow." "St. Columba's mine's called," said Phil. "I won't know anybody yet, so it would have been nice if you were there." Sheila was disappointed. "I go to Alexander Primary, so I won't see you." "But we could play after school," she suggested hopefully. "Okay," said Phil. "See you then." She and Jerry scrambled back over the wall, and Sheila went in. St. Columba's was the nearby Catholic primary school she knew. Alexander Primary was Protestant. She thought maybe she wouldn't mention her new friends to her mother just yet, though Cathy would have to know sometime that the new neighbours were Catholic. From then on, Sheila and Phil were inseparable. Jerry was a good friend too, but he had his own mates to hang around with usually, and as they all got older, it was only occasionally that he would join in with Phil and Sheila's games. After all, they were only girls. It was Phil who stood up for Sheila now when people called her Ginger or Carrots and made fun of her. "You leave her alone or I'll twist your elephant ears off," she ordered Chrissy Murphy when she tried to pull Sheila's hair. "And leave off my mate or I'll get my big brother to give you such a hiding," when Sandy Bell was teasing Sheila more than usual. Occasionally, Sheila would turn to Jerry to help her, and a big brother would soon deal with any persistent troublemakers, going so far as to punch big Geordie Patterson in the eye on one memorable occasion. When they moved on to secondary school, although they were still separated during a school day, their friendship remained strong. It was against all the rules, they knew vaguely, for a Catholic and a Protestant to be best friends. But, thought Sheila and Phil, who cared?
You can buy Belfast Girls by Jerry McCulloch in paperback on Amazon.com or in Kindle electronic edition either on Amazon.com or on Amazon.co.uk. More information about Jerry on her website, jerrymcculloch.com. Let's bury